most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams of John Wilkerson, our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch, whose appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. If you have a question or comment for Doc, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Doc, one of the amazing stories to see, and we've seen it in so many different fashions. You've got the Fanatics website, which they had all the material that was there to make and continue to produce Phillies and Yankees and all kinds of MLB jerseys, but that's been set to the side as they're now making masks. You have Bauer, which does such a great job outfitting the National Hockey League, teams both in Canada and the United States. They are now making medical shields that they have started to distribute. They were thinking as many as 100,000 across Canada within this past week, and they also are hoping to help alleviate some of the need and concerns for the United States as their production continues. And NASCAR is getting in on the mix. What does it mean to you just to see the way the industry has got? They've got engineers that are volunteering their time so that they can work the five 3D printers that NASCAR owns, two of which were installed just a couple of months ago. But they're working about 18 hours a day to kick out as many medical shields and other items that can help with this incredible crunch and demand on personal protection equipment for our medical workers.
You know, John, it's just heartwarming that when you know that so many people, you know, not since World War II, when we had, as a nation, we felt an incredible threat to our survival, which we now have seen with this COVID-19. And we've seen so many people, you know, General Motors totally revamping their assembly lines to make ventilators, and Ford Motor Company making masks and shields. And you mentioned all the sports production companies, and now NASCAR, you know, their 3D printers. All the things they do that they were making, they were geared up to start making the parts, the common parts that we're going to use for the 2021 car, which everyone's been waiting on for NASCAR for 4 or 5 years. This car had been designed and developed, and all the owners said was going to really drive costs down for racing because these parts are going to be commonly prepared. But NASCAR basically about 3 weeks ago said, nope, we're going to put the car on the shelf. I know as much you guys need it, you guys want it, but we got other things that are a priority. That car will now not show up until 2022 because we're going to do this. And kudos to them. Big pat on the back for them to know that we need to be able to, you know, the masks are important. The shields are important. The ventilators are important. And everybody, I think, understanding that, and I think it's just the incredible unselfishness from a corporate standpoint, from a small business standpoint. We've seen on the news where people are making shields in their backyard, in the garages, and shipping out as fast as they can. You know, and it just reiterates to us that we have all been offered a very powerful and effective weapon to fight this, to prevent the spread of COVID-19. And that weapon is social distancing. You know, if we do our part and we stay home, we can make a difference. And the biggest thing we've learned also is the fact that there are a lot of people around the world, in our society and around the world, who have no symptoms but have tested positive as carriers of COVID-19. And you may not have a single symptom, but you can endanger others. And we've also learned that the largest at-risk population are those who are over 60 with underlying illnesses or conditions, and, of course, those that are immunocompromised. So even though you may not be symptomatic, it's important to stay home and stay in. So if you're one of those silent positives, they're calling them now, that are asymptomatic, you don't want to carry that somewhere else. So face shields, masks, all that everyone is pitching in to do, John, is because of that, we're going to get beyond this, and we're going to win, as so many politicians are saying, and hopefully we can minimize the spread or stop the spread completely of this horrible virus.
Let's get a call from Lynn, who joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Lynn.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Doc, I missed the first part of the show, and you may have mentioned this already, but I was on most of your feed yesterday with Twitter with you and Jesse, and I really, really enjoyed that. That was great.
Well, thank you.
And I hope you keep it live. I know you were talking about maybe doing it as a podcast, but I never did figure out how to get through to you guys. I had on my screen, it said, ask a question, and every time I punched the button, it knocked me offline. So I don't know what, I'll figure that out someday, I guess. But I really enjoyed it. It was great.
Well, thank you, Lynn. We had a fun. We had. I'm not very technically inclined either when it comes to that. When I went, you know, they weren't computers around when I was going to college and medical school. So my daughter, fortunately, Jesse, you're talking about. We did a little for folks who may not know. We did a little Twitter thing back and forth. And we called it Rolling with the Punches. And we basically told some stories. She currently works for NASCAR there at NASCAR's headquarters in Charlotte, and I'm here in Knoxville. And we shared some stories and answered questions. And your buddy Rob DeMastis presented a number of questions yesterday during that. Who shares the high school football broadcast with John on Friday nights. But it was fun. Lynn, it was fun to do that with Jesse, and it'll be up to her whether we do these anymore down the road. But I think we will.
Okay, encourage her to. One other thing, I didn't see all of the iRace yesterday. I was kind of in and out in that. But I've read a little bit about Bubba and Clint Bowyer's little deal. And, you know, but the thing that surprises me and I want to ask you about is that the Blue MU people pulled their sponsorship from him. Evidently, it happened even during the afternoon, yesterday afternoon. Now, I realize there's not nearly as many dollars involved with iRacing as there is with cup racing, but I was just surprised that they reacted that quickly to somebody's temper tantrum. What's your take on that?
Well, I've heard that. I have not seen from one source that I would. You know, that it's a definite. I've seen that they were going to do that. And for people who may not know, iRacing, virtual reality racing, they were some motor speedway yesterday for NASCAR. And the drivers are in their homes or garages or basements or wherever with their units, their iRacing seats and steering wheels and pedals. And Clint Bowyer early in the race said he got – his quote was, I got bubba'd. Meaning that, and he got hit, and there was contact all afternoon, and I think Clint Bowyer hit everything but the lottery yesterday. He, in fact, his crew chief during the broadcast said, told Clint that took that line out of Days of Thunder and said, Clint, I want you to go out and hit the pace car. You've hit everything else today, but Clint and Bubba got together. Clint is also on. He happened to have a camera by his seat where they could show him during the Fox telecast. I think Clint's going to be working for Fox down the road, if I'm guessing correctly. And then that erupted into some Twitter conversation afterwards and some angry back and forth. But it's unfortunate. You know, it's really unfortunate that a sponsor would pull out as a result of something that happened in virtual racing. Now, there was also contact between Daniel Suarez and Kyle Larson, and both those drivers got parked. And the steward, the virtual reality racing stewards parked those guys and said they parked Suarez a week ago during the Texas race, and then they parked Kyle Larson and Daniel Suarez this week. So it's about as real as you can get. Tempers flaring, fenders, damage, people bouncing all week. It's Bristol. I mean, and that was happening all afternoon. But one bit of good news, interestingly enough, I don't know if you heard it, but Garrett Smithley, who's a very new driver coming on to the Cup Series, he got a sponsor for his iRacing car, his computer, basically his virtual reality car, and they're not only be on for iRacing, they've agreed to be on for the Brickyard 400 for his real Cup car. So maybe it goes the other way as well.
Well, I hope so. It's fun to watch, certainly when there's, you know, I was feeling bad yesterday because I wasn't at Bristol, which I normally am. But you know, that was good to watch that. I've enjoyed it. I'm a little surprised that Fox is carrying that. I mean, it's you know, it's just a game, really,
A
virtual game. But it surprises me, and I understand they're getting pretty good ratings on it.
They got huge numbers last week. They had it on FS1, one of their cable affiliate from the mothership Fox, and they got such big numbers. I think it blew everyone away because people are so sitting home, they're so desperate for sports or something that looks like sports, and the reality part of that for the NASCAR races. Now, the IndyCar team last week opted, NBC did not take the IndyCar race a week ago. It was only on IndyCar.com. And then they saw the big numbers that Fox got. I'm assuming that's what happened. The huge numbers that Fox got with people viewership. And they said, we're going to have our IndyCar race this week that's going to be airing on NBCSN. And then Fox this week decided, okay, if the numbers are that big and we're struggling for programming that's going to get people to watch, we're going to put – and they put that race from Bristol yesterday on both Fox and FS1 as well as some of their other platforms, their other apps. And so it was airing simultaneously on multiple platforms on Fox, and I can't wait to see what kind of numbers they got because it was like Bristol. It was an absolute slugfest. But you know, you have Mike Joy calling it. You had Jeff Gordon there. You had Darrell Waltrip doing the invocation from his home in Franklin, Tennessee. You had the national anthem being done from L.A. It was so well produced and so well done. That you know what people want to watch, you know, and here's the other thing. I'm going to add this. I think people are so eager to these because of all that we've been through here that when this quarantine is over, you're going to see people pouring into sporting events, which is you know pouring into restaurants, hopefully pouring into venues and to watch sports and whether it's auto racing or baseball or whatever. And I think that's going to be good. I think people are going to, it was sort of like what happened after World War II. People said, we got to get out. We got to be able to enjoy life. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. And you can see now people really want to get on and watch, which was reflected by the ratings that Fox got last week.
Lynn, we do appreciate the call. Let's say hello to Johnny. Why don't we go ahead and get a break? If you have a question or comment for Doc, 656-9900, 656-9900, *990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Again, Doc's appearance is brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. They're still answering the phone at their suburban shopping center location just west of Westtown Mall. They can deliver or they're offering curbside pickup. If you're a current customer, they have your shoe size and information in their database, which should make ordering A-OK and incredibly easy. New Balance Knoxville here to help. More with Doc Punch coming up as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
99.1 The Sports Animal.
It sounds just as good on your car radio as it does while you're working.
99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues. Our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch of ESPN, as he joins us for his weekly visit. His appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. New Balance, still answering the phone at their suburban shopping center location, and they are available to deliver new shoes as well as you go by for curbside pickup. New Balance Knoxville in the suburban shopping center just west of Westtown Mall. We've got more with Doc coming up, but right now we want to check in with Bob Yarborough, our friend from our sister station, News Talk 98.7. Bob, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, John. I'm doing well. How are you guys? Sounds like everything's going okay for a Monday.
Happy to say so.
Yes, beautiful day. And what we've got at the COVID-19, the latest on the headlines regarding this throughout our community and across the state. And we'll start across the state with the Tennessee Department of Health report this afternoon. 3,802 COVID-19 cases in the state. That's up from 3,633 cases previously reported, 352 people hospitalized, 65 fatalities connected to the virus in the state, and 356 people have recovered from COVID-19. I've got a county-by-county breakdown of some of the counties in our area I'll go through in just a moment. Knox County Health Department's released the local numbers for our county, 119 confirmed coronavirus cases in this county. That's up from 85 on Friday, 16 hospitalizations, one fatality connected to the virus, and 70 recovered cases. Again, that basically means that the person suffering from COVID-19 has been released from isolation. Now, let's give you an idea of just what's going on as far as other counties around Knox County. Anderson County is reporting 10 cases of COVID-19. That's the same as late last week. Blount County is up to 38 cases. That's an increase of two since the last reporting numbers. Campbell County is at five. That's the same. Cook County at one. Hamilton County, just to give you an idea of what's going on in Chattanooga, they're at 83 cases, plus nine since the last reported numbers. Jefferson County is up to seven cases. Loudoun County's at 13. Sevier County at 16. And the counties with the most cases of COVID-19 throughout the state continue to be in the middle section and the western section of the state. And that would be Davidson County with 819 cases and Shelby County with 766 cases. We got a lot of information regarding COVID-19. Again, it's being strongly recommended that if you get out in public to go to the grocery store or do anything else out, you wear some type of mask. The CDC is recommending that, and local health experts are as well. But we've got plenty of information regarding the latest on COVID-19 at newstalk987.com. John?
All right, Bob, we sure do appreciate it. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. And so that's Bob Yarborough from News Talk 98.7, and you can check him out online at newstalk987.com. Let's get back to the phones. Our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch. It's Johnny who's up next. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Yeah, doing good. I actually live up in Richmond, Virginia. I grew up in East Tennessee and listen to you guys and have probably listened to you for 10 or 15 years, and I always wanted to ask Dr. Punch if he ever had the chance to meet or maybe even knows the original doctor of NASCAR, Dr. Don Tarr.
You know, I did not. I did not meet. I knew Don. I knew who Don Tarr was, but I never got a chance to meet him or speak with him, no.
Okay. I was just curious. He's actually my uncle, and it just crossed my mind a few times if you'd ever had a chance to meet him. He retired in the early 70s and became a country doctor up in Johnson County and takes care of the good people up there. He's still alive and doing well, and just something I'd always wanted to call in and ask, see if Dr. Punch had ever had a chance to talk to Dr. Tarr. And he actually did some – I was reading about him, was one of the first people, maybe the first person, to actually have a camera in the car at Daytona and did some pit crew TV type stuff. So, anyway, I was just curious.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with the name and I knew who he was, and unfortunately have not had a chance. I need to reach out sometime and just be able to, I'd love to visit with him sometime. Glad he's still around and still practicing. Yeah, I know who he is. It's certainly a part of NASCAR history.
Yep, sounds good. We'll holler at him sometime. Good talking to you guys. Take care down there.
You as well, Johnny. Thank you so much for calling. Let's go next to Randy. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Randy.
Hello, John and Jimmy and Dr. Punch. How's everybody doing today?
Doing well. Hope good, you are.
Yes, doing good. Hey, I don't know about you guys, and I'm sure you are. I'm sure you're ready to hear the crack of the bat and the pop of the glove like I am. I want to see some baseball live, and I want to watch it on TV. But what I wanted to talk to you today, Dr. Punch, as you know, I like sports science quite a bit. You know, the gold standard is not 20/20 vision anymore. Everybody's wanting the vision that Ted Williams had, 2010, 2015, anything better than 2020. Skill position players in football, about all baseball players are wanting 2010, 2015. And a lot of guards in basketball are wanting that, too. It was once said that Bob Cousy, of course, this was his peripheral vision. I remember reading an SI back in 1990 that he could look straight ahead. This reporter for SI was talking to him, and he placed something, an object, on a coffee table that was diagonally back so many degrees, and he said Cousy could see it. And he didn't peek or nothing. I mean, he said Cousy could see it plain, whereas, you know, nobody else could see, would be able to see that. But everybody's wanting to get laser surgery now, and the gold standard now is, you know, pretty much, of course, Ted Williams had uncorrected 20/10. That means the slightest little letter that you and me can see at 10 feet, he could see it at 20 feet. And, gosh, he was just such an incredible athlete with his reflexes and eyes. He wasn't that fast, but, you know, in the war, John Glenn was his wingman. And John Glenn, before he became an astronaut, said Ted Williams was an excellent pilot. He had a lot of kills. He got shot down, and he knew how to swim. They put him through a lot of pre-flight training, you know, like swimming through flaming fuel, obstacle runs, hand-to-hand boxing. His boxing instructor in pre-flight training said, before he went to Korea, of course, he was in World War II also, but before he went to Korea, his boxing instructor in hand-to-hand said, if you make it back from this war alive and you get tired of baseball, come see me. I'll make you boxing champion of the world. His footwork wasn't real good, but his eye, his reflexes, and, you know, just hand-eye coordination was off the charts. Now, that's how good an athlete is that he was. And what do you think about all these
lost
people?
Out 5 years of his career based on military service, which was off the charts. He's also in the Fisherman Hall of Fame, in the Fishing Hall of Fame.
Yes. Could you imagine the endorsement money he'd make today? He had a contract with Sears back in the day for fishing boats, fishing gear, hunting supplies, because he was a great hunter. I sat there. He had hunting contract with them for hunting, fishing, and baseball equipment, gloves, balls, bats, and so forth. Those three sporting good items. Could you imagine the kind of money he'd make in endorsements today with his name on everything like that? Golly. It'd be astronomical.
So, yep.
Doc,
you have a question?
I was going to ask Doc, what do you think about all these people wanting to get this vision? I mean, 2020 is not the gold standard anymore. What do you think about these people wanting to get 2015 and 2010 and all that?
Well, I know a lot of race car drivers that even back in the 90s when LASIK first came out, that came to me and said, hey, my vision's not bad, but at 200 miles per hour, it could be better. And the good thing is, you mentioned about Ted, and a lot of race car drivers, they did some crude testing, but the best test for their peripheral vision is how well they could dodge an accident that was a turn or two turns away, and they're going 200 miles an hour, because a lot of race car drivers will tell you that even though you're watching where you're going, you're really driving out the driver's side window. You're looking way ahead of you, because at 200 miles an hour, you're going a football field a second at the speed. And so you better be looking way ahead, but your peripheral vision is what keeps you safe, keeps you out of an accident that's a half a mile ahead or maybe three-fourths of a mile ahead. And those guys had that. But I remember talking to some of the greats, some of the Hall of Famers today, who said, can I get this? In fact, one driver who was at the top of his game called me back then and said, tell me about LASIK. And I started researching for him way back in the early 90s. And that's the reason I went and had it. I had the surgery because – I told him I was so impressed, and it was one surgeon at the time in Charlotte, North Carolina, who was doing it, and I went to him, and we did the surgery, and then about 2 years later, we had a driver who had it, and I actually taped, with everyone's permission, a segment of that surgery and showed it on ESPN. And here's the thing, is we're not really sure what you're going to get, but most of those guys got 20/15 or even a little bit better. You know, I was thrilled to get back to 2020, given what I wore. But you're right. I mean, and if you can, the surgery and the technology is so significant today, it's so far advanced, and continues to advance every day, that if you can get that kind of vision, you know, why not? Now, of course, down the road, you may end up having to wear some adaptive glasses or corrective lenses as you grow and get older, which I've done. Still, I mean, why not do it? Especially now, I'm not sure if if your vision was 20/10. Could you hit the ball like Ted Williams, you think?
No. I might see it blow by me.
Yeah, I could see that umpire signaling the third strike on me pretty easily, but I don't think I could have swung the bat like that. So vision was great, but there's also a lot of natural ability there with those kind of incredible talents.
Ted Williams was said he could see the seams. He could pick up the seams on the ball as it came at him. But, hey, Doc, we appreciate it. And that had to be really fun to take over social media the way you did with Jesse. And are you going to do any rolling with the punches this upcoming weekend?
I think we'll probably do some of these. We've had a lot of input from people around the country who were watching, who got on and listened. And we thought about doing it a while back, but people want to hear stories and want to hear those kind of things. And I told Jesse, if she wants to do it, I'd love to do it, because it gives us a great chance to talk about IndyCar races that I've done, people I've been around, college football games, coaches, tell some stories of some things that have happened pregame with coaches or halftime, some funny things, some humorous things. You know, and John, I'll say this. The reason I would do it is because growing up, I was always a fan of Paul Harvey's stories about the rest of the story. And I love being able to take some of those things. You may have seen this big football game or this national championship, but what you don't know that happened behind the scene was this. And that's what we like to do, is tell some of those stories.
That's fantastic. Hey, Doc, we always appreciate it. Shouldn't be lost that it's more important than ever, but happy Easter. This is a huge week, and hopefully everybody remains safe and sound.
Well, I hope so. And happy Easter to you guys and all those listening. I hope you stay safe and you stay well and we stay home and you worship in whatever way comes best for you. But we also remember the first responders, our medical people, and those that are out there on the front lines trying to keep us, keep everyone safe and risking their lives in order to take care of those that have been affected. So hopefully with our prayers as we approach this Easter Sunday.
Doc, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
And so that is Dr. Jerry Punch. His appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville in their suburban shopping center just west of Westtown Mall. Still answering the phone. They can deliver, or they are offering curbside pickup. If you're a current customer, they've got your shoe size and information in their database that makes ordering even easier. New Balance Knoxville, here to help. We'll get a break. We've got Will West, Jimmy, who joins us next as it's mock draft time.
Yeah, we can mock his mock draft like I got mocked earlier today.
Yes, the mocking will be here in full force next on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson, and before you know it, it'll be draft time. In fact, we are, less than 3 weeks away from the draft, and joining us now on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline is Will West of the starting lineup with Tyler Ivins and Eric Kane with Will West. Will, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you for having me, gentlemen.
Well, we tried this a couple of years ago. We're trying it again now, and that is the staff doing mock drafts, and it'll lead up to the NFL draft, which is good to go on its originally scheduled days, and we will have a draft night special as the first round takes place, but a lot of exciting things to look at from those folks that you hear from morning until night here on 99.1 The Sports Animal, right?
Oh, absolutely. We got it to draft covers. We kind of understand. We're all stuck at home a little bit doing our shows. We know a lot of people are stuck at home as well, with the shelter in place law is in effect right now. So what we decided to do was just say, what's the next big thing that's out there? I'm a huge NFL draft guy. You guys know that. I absolutely love it. Eat it, breathe it, sleep it every day. Lose my mind as it's going on, like the Yahoos used to be in Radio City Music Hall back in the day. So what we've done is just put a ton of content out there for the listeners, for the people that are stuck at home. I mean, we don't have a lot of escapes from everyday life these days because we don't have sports. So with the draft coming up, what we decided to do was do a mock draft 1.0 with a number of members of our staff, and you can see that now at 991thesportsammo.com. And then each week we're going to give you different videos as well. You'll see Eric Ainge doing a video, I think, talking about the different quarterbacks and breaking them down and breaking their game down as it pertains to to the next level and making it in the National Football League. We'll get with Eric Kane, who was the defensive captain at Carson Newman and a linebacker there for a number of years, and he'll bring down the different top defensive players that are there. Eric is also our UT ball beat guy, so he'll talk about the different Tennessee players that are going to be looking at the draft and looking to get drafted coming up towards the end of the month. And so we'll also have a number of other people, hopefully Mike Heath. I think Derek Mason's another guy that we're going to try to talk about with this being such a wide receiver heavy draft. Just a ton of content between now and draft time. And then, of course, during the draft, live commentary with our different roundtable of different talent from our show, or from our station, from all the different shows, kind of giving you a little bit of a different look at what's going on with the draft so you can have some local flavor while you're watching the NFL draft coming up later in April.
Do you think that we'll be able to get Tiff or Avery to have the phone on you so we can see another hat toss when the Giants pick fourth?
I assure you. I even said this in my mock draft the day that went out there. As a Giants fan, I am working on the presumption that Dave Gettleman's going to screw this up. So if there's anything I know about Dave Gettleman, it's he's going to get this wrong. So Daniel Jones, the pick was nice last night. I did lose my mind, and that went a little like locally viral. I think about 16,000-17,000 people watched that video that Joel Silverberg took of me losing my mind when the Daniel Jones pick happened last year. I am presuming another mess up. The Giants need an offensive lineman, and you gotta at this point in time, you just gotta protect your investment in Daniel Jones. The defense isn't great, but until you can block, you can't do a whole lot of anything in the National Football League. But Dave Gettleman has never drafted a line in the first round, even though he kind of has a reputation as being a guy who loves offensive linemen. He doesn't spend really high draft equity on his offensive line. So I'm assuming Isaiah Simmons, the linebacker from Clemson, is going to be the pick for the Giants, and you will absolutely positively see a hat toss at that point.
Well, your hat toss wasn't necessary last year with Daniel Jones, okay? So you're going to be getting a good player with Simmons, aren't you?
Yeah, no, you should. You absolutely should. It's just here's the thing I look at with Simmons. He's a very nice linebacker. You can get starting linebackers later on in the draft. You can get, edge is one thing, and then need help on the edge. So I get that. But when you're talking about a guy that's going to play on the interior, you can get third round, fourth round, fifth round starting linebackers. I mean, teams the last couple of years have let guys who have been among the top three leading tacklers in the league walk elsewhere because they know I can go find a middle linebacker somewhere else. So why in the world do you spend the top five pick on a middle linebacker? That guy better be Singletary Ray Lewis, if I'm going to spend the top five pick on him. He can't miss. He can't just be good. He's got to be Hall of Fame level good to spend the top five draft pick on him, in my opinion.
Well, do you think that the third quarterback taken in the draft will be Jordan Love, as Todd McShay says, or Justin Herbert, as Mel Kiper Jr. says?
I think it'll be Justin Herbert. I do. I don't think that the Chargers are going to draft. I don't think they're going to spend that high of a draft pick on Jordan Love. We don't talk about it a lot, but Jordan Love really did not play well last year comparatively. There was talk about him having an attitude problem. There are concerns with marijuana with Jordan Love. I don't think he's a bad player, and I think one of the reasons why we saw a slight regression from him last year was I think he lost 9 starters around him on the offensive side of the football last year. So, and that's going to lead to a little bit of a regression. But it's what I call this the Andrew Bynum principle. This is what I always thought. The Lakers, gave Andrew Bynum a ton of money based on potential alone. If you won't work really hard and keep your act together for me to give you money, why would I give you money before you do anything, right? So why would you expect me to keep your act together after I give you money? I think it's going to be Herbert. I also think that he's a Pac-12 guy, and their L.A. is at number 6, is a team out there on the West Coast. I think he will be the guy because last year Justin Herbert would have been the number one pick in the draft if he would have come out. I think Justin Herbert will still be third quarterback taken in this draft. And I think that Jordan Love might have to wait a while if you don't see a team in the 20s that trades their way into the teens to draft him. The reason why is if you look at the teams in the teens, there's only one that really probably needs a quarterback right now. I mean, I can't see the Browns, the Jets, the Niners, the Bucks, the Broncos, the Falcons, Cowboys, Dolphins should already have theirs. So the only team that probably will make a move there and draft a quarterback, I think, is going to be possibly the Las Vegas Raiders, weird to say. But maybe Jacksonville isn't sold completely on Gardner Minshew, but they have so many other holes on that team. I can't imagine them spending that kind of draft equity. So I think you're looking at a team in the 20s. Where I have Jordan Love going is actually the New Orleans Saints at number 24. I don't believe that they're sold on Taysom Hill being the quarterback of the future, and he's going to be 31 years of age by the time we start playing this year. So he'd be 32 before he becomes a franchise quarterback and taking over for Drew Brees. I think that they go ahead, even though they're in win now mode, and solidify maybe that quarterback of the future since they let Teddy Bridgewater walk in free agency this year.
You go through the process of putting a mock draft together, and then lo and behold, second pick, you see Goodell walk to, or somebody walk to the podium to say, here to announce a trade, which of course throws everything up in the air. Do you expect there to be more activity between now and the first night of the draft, or do you think it will be, as we sometimes see, very active that night of the draft, where sometimes teams trade back into the backside of round one just to get somebody they want to make sure they land?
Yeah, I think that that's what we'll see, John. I think especially in the maybe teams from the 20s trading into the teams in the second round trading into the 20s. I think that's the biggest thing we'll see, because there are a limited number in this draft specifically of offensive linemen who look like they're ready to go ahead and start. There's still there's kind of a drop-off. Once you get past that first four, maybe there's a drop-off before you get to like an Austin Jackson or somebody like that out of USC who has all the potential in the world, but he donated bone marrow to his sister last year. Had kind of a drop-off here, so nobody knows what Austin Jackson's going to be in the NFL, or if he's going to be ready, or if he's going to be more of a project. Another position like that is corner. If you don't land one of those top three corners probably in this draft, I don't know who you draft beyond that. If it's not Fulton or Henderson or the kid from Alabama, I don't know what the next cornerback looks like. It's probably somebody that probably deserves to be picked late in the second round, not someone that's in the first round. Offensive line is one of those, corners one of those, and I think that edge is going to be the other one, because whoever doesn't land one of the either Chasen from LSU or the edge from Iowa, there's a drop-off between him and the guy from Penn State and then Gross Matos and everybody else at the edge position. So specifically when it comes to those three positions, I do think we see people trade back up to try to get edge, to try to get offensive line, to try to get corner, because there are a lot of teams that have a need at that position as musical chairs. There just aren't enough players for everybody that has needed those positions to be able to draft those positions.
So how can folks follow along as we, of course, again, set each one of ourselves up for severe mockage?
Yeah, 991dsportsanimal.com. You can find our mock drafts there. I think mine, Jimmy Hyams as well. Vince Ferraris is up. Sam Foreman, your esteemed producer there with Sports Talk. Our mock drafts are all up today. On Wednesday, you'll have Josh Ward. You'll have Tyler Ivins. You'll have Eric Kane. You'll have Joel Silverberg. Their drafts will go live. And at 991thesportsanimal.com, you'll see the videos that we put up over the next couple of weeks. You'll see all of the different breakdowns that we do. Just a ton of draft coverage between now and draft night on the website and on social media.
And what can we look forward to tomorrow morning on the starting lineup?
A little bit more nonsense. That's what's going on, John. So a lot of people are struggling for sports content. We were going to talk about nothing anyway. So we have a lot coming for you. We've done this thing called the bracket. Every day during the NCAA tournament, we have just a different bracket of things. Like today was a bracket of foods. At one point in time, we did a bracket of movie franchises, Bond versus Star Wars versus Marvel Cinematic Universe, The Godfather, and we did a bracket of those. So tomorrow we will start at 8 o'clock something called the draft. Up until draft night, none of the first round, we will do just drafting of different things. Tomorrow we're going to look at the top college football uniforms, and myself, Tyler Ivins, Derek Kane, we'll do a three-round draft of the top college football uniforms coming up at 8 o'clock tomorrow. We'll have a lot of draft coverage for you as well.
I think if anybody has Seattle in their top three, there should be an immediate suspension and no coming back from that.
But, we're going college football, John, so I assure you my pick of Oregon is locked and loaded. I am ready for those chrome helmets.
Goodness gracious. I'm gonna email HR as we take the break here. Will, appreciate it. Thank you so much. A lot of great draft coverage in the build-up to this next to last week of April. But thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it, man.
That's Will West of the starting lineup. Will West, Tyler Ivins, Eric Kane, Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 in the morning. We'll get a break. A final segment to hour number two of Sports Talk is next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Only one radio station makes your workday a little more manageable.
Only one station is 99.1. The Sports Animal.
final segment to hour number two of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams.
John, a couple of quick notes. Al Kaline, great outfielder with the Detroit Tigers, 22 years there. He passed away. He was 85 years old. He won a batting title in the American League when he was only 20 years old in 1955. He had over 3,000 hits in his career, an 18-time All-Star, 10-time Gold Glove winner, Al Kaline. So certainly a loss there. And a Hall of Famer, a Hall of Fame wide receiver, Bobby Mitchell, passed away. He was 84 years old, 11 years with Cleveland Browns and Washington Redskins. So he has passed away. And then I did want to mention this as far as recruiting with Tennessee. They're after a couple of really good quarterbacks. We'll see if they're able to land them. I'll get to that a little bit later, but there was something else I saw that was pretty odd. Circus Sports had 367 players on their Heisman Trophy odds, five from Tennessee, and four were quarterbacks. Now, how about that?
Wow.
Garantano, Maurer, Bailey, and Kasem Hill were the four quarterbacks. Kasem Hill was 100,000-1 odds. I'm glad they brought that up. And then sophomore running back Eric Gray. So those were the five Tennessee players on the Circa Sports Heisman odds. Interesting.
Yeah, very much so. And sorry to hear the passing of Al Kaline, as well as the other gentleman that you mentioned. Ernie Banks was known as Mr. Cub. Al Kaline was Mr. Tiger.
Yep,
we'll
sure
get
was.
A break and be back with hour number three of Sports Talk. We look forward to starting with Rob Lewis of VolQuest.com. He joins us next as we talk recruiting, Tennessee football, Vols basketball, all that and more. 99.1, the Sports Animal. Stay with us.